ध्यायामो धवलावकुण्डलवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमभिषिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीं। And we are discussing Aparokshanubhuti, the work of Shankara. So as the title suggests, Aparoksha Anubhuti. So Anubhuti means experience, Aparoksham means direct. So in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, experience or experience of the self is defined in two terms. One of the term is aparoksham. So aparoksham means paroksham, aksham means I, para aksham, para means other or through another person's eye, that is paroksham, and aparoksham means direct from one's own eye, that means one's own experience. And in Vedantam, experience of the self or self-experience, there is nothing called self-experience or experience of the self. The self is one's own nature. Brahman or the self is beyond names. It's beyond name and form. It's beyond any objectification. It cannot be objectified. It cannot be an object to anything that we know, any instrument that we are aware of. So that is what is proclaimed through the Taittiriya Upanishad statement, Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, the story goes that there is also another story in the Keno Upanishad, but in short, like Yato vacho nivartante vak, the vak devata, as well as manas or the mind devata, both of them try to. The Vak Devata is Agni, and Mano Devata, the ruler of the mind, is considered to be Indra. So both of them tried to realize or find the self. So they went, but they returned without any success. They couldn't grasp, they couldn't objectify, they couldn't see or perceive the self or Brahman. So yato vacho nivartante, yato yataha, yataha means yasma karanat, from where or due to which or from what, vacho nivartante, or from where vachaha nivartante, word or vag returns back without any success, nivartante, and manasa aprapya, manasa saha aprapya, manasa saha with the mind as well, aprapyam, not achievable or not attained. So this has been explained in Keno Upanishad as well as other Upanishads as well. Yat chakshum chi na pashyati, I guess. And yena I forgot the shloka, but yat chakshushana pashyati, yena chakshum chi pashyati, tadeva brahmatvam vidhi naidam yadidam upasate. I don't remember the exact shloka. So that's in Keno Upanishad, it says that the eye cannot perceive the self, whereas the eye is made, eye is given the power of perception by the self. The self perceives the eye. Similarly, vak as well. Yad vacha anabhidhitam yena vak abhyudate tadeva brahmatvam viddhi naidam yadidam upasate. That which cannot be described by words, that which gives the power of description to the words, know that alone to be Brahman, not that which people say as worship this. So that is in Keno Upanishad. In other Upanishads as well, it comes in Katha Upanishad as well as in Mundaka Upanishad as well, it says, na chakshusha pashyati, na vacha, na manasa. So, that like it cannot, the self cannot be perceived, cannot be known through chakshusha, vacha, by eyes, word, mind, etc. So there are many shlokas which na vacha, naiva vacha, na manasa praptum shakyah, na anyena devata, not through any other devata, nor through any other sense organs. Asti iti bruvato anyatra tatkatam upalabhyate. When a person knows asti iti bruvato, when a person says it is there, that means it is one's own experience that it is there, the perception, the not perception but the spharanam, the pulsation in a person that I exist. So it self proclaims, it is something. That is why in the Ishavasya Upanishad the self is defined as Swayambhuhu. So it is Saparyaga Shukram Akayam Avarnam Asnaviram Shuddham Apapa Viddham. So while defining the various natures of the self, the one of the nature is Swayambhuhu. Swayambhuhu means Swayam Bhavati. It was not created by anything else, but it was self-created. Self-created means that doesn't mean that it creates or multiplies itself like a virus does, but it just means that it doesn't have any cause, it is always there. It's not created, it's not subject to causation. So that means the self is always there. So it cannot be perceived, it cannot be known, it cannot be made an object to the sense organs or the internal, like antakaranam as well, but it can be known through the aparoksha anubhavam, through the sphuranam that I exist. So there can be a question that if that is the case, sphuranam is always there. So even for an ajnani, sphuranam is there. So what is the difference between an ajnani sphuranam and the sphuranam after realization? So aparoksha anubhavam or atmajnanam, or atmajnani's experience of the sphuranam, how is it different from an ajnani's experience? So that is where Shankara says in Adhyasa Bhashyam that for an ajnani, the I that we know, I exist, whenever we say like, who are you? The question comes, we immediately answer, my name is so and so, I work in such a place, I live in such a place, I have so much height, I have these parents, I have friends, and all those things comes up. So generally there is an adhyasam, there is a superimposition, there is a mixing of the real I, the real spharanam, the real self, and the body, mind, intellect complex. So the ahankaram or the ego, which is associated with the karanam as well as the body as well. So for an ajnani, though the real self or the real I is pure self or the aparoksha anubhavam, yet at the vyavaharika level we experience the I as mixed with the body, mind, intellect complex. That is what Shankara says, naisargikoyam loka vyavaharah naisargikah. It is like naisargikam and it is loka vyavaharam, it is a vyavaharam, it's an experience of all person, it is natural. Somehow it is natural that we experience ourselves as this limited body, mind, intellect complex. So aparoksha anubhavam is when a person realizes the I, the pure I. So the pure I, when a person realizes the pure I exist without any limitations, without any adjuncts, that is aparoksha anubhavam. Whereas when a person experiences the I as mixed with the adjuncts of body, mind, etc., then that is an ajnani's viewpoint. So if that is the case, then how can a person experience the real I? So the real I can be experienced by the method of apavadam or negation. So how should you do negation? Many acharyas or many people giving discourses would say that, okay, apavadam, you have to do the process of neti neti. You'll have to negate everything apart from the self and come to the self. So that can be either through external renunciation or internal renunciation, through jnanam or bhakti and all those things. But the process is very simple. You don't exactly need to negate or remove everything. You just need to have the conviction, have the intellectual conviction that the the spectrum or the realm of body, mind, etc., which can be collectively called as the world or locum, is an illusion, is mithya. So that's where Shankara summarizes it as Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Iva Naparaha. So there are only two things here. One is Brahman and the other is Lokam. So the moment you are in Lokam, you will be associated or you will be identified with the ego I. So Lokam is an illusion. That means when you are at the realm of Lokam, any illusion needs a substratum. So at the realm of Lokam as well, you need to have the self. That is the reason why Spuranam is there for a Jnani as well as a Jnani. But for an Ajnani, since he is at the Lokam realm, therefore he has the illusory I or the Ahankaram as well as the real I. Both are mixed. Whereas for a Jnani, when he is at the realm of Brahman, then he is associated with the pure I. So association with the pure I is just by negating the world intellectually. So intellectually asserting that there is no world, the world is an illusion. So this negation, we don't need to go into detailed analysis of like how should a person do this. Okay, negation. If a person has to do negation, he has to do so and so sadhana. If a person has to do negation, then he has to take sannyasam. Either he has to take karma sannyasam or the external sannyasam, or he'll have to do jnana karma sannyasam, and all those things are not exactly necessary. Intellectually, if a person is able to convince or have the conviction that the world is an illusion and I am the Advitiya Brahman, that very moment he becomes a realizer. He gains a Aparoksha Anubhavam. That is Aparoksha Anubhuti. The experience of the self is when a person asserts in his intellect that the world is an illusion and I am the self. I am Advitiya Brahman, which alone exists. So merely asserting oneself to be the self, saying that, okay, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. If you go on telling that Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, I am Brahman, I am Brahman, that is not realization. That will not give you Aparoksha Anubhavam, because as of now we are in the world. That means we have to get out of the world. As long as there is no Jagan Mithyatvam or assertion of the world to be unreal, Aham Brahmasmi will not give us the desired fruit. That is the reason why many people who learn Vedanta, who will be learning Vedantam, who will be practicing Vedantam, yet they will fall a prey to the various delusions of the world. So they will like start learning, they will start preaching, yet internally they will be having no bliss, because they are just asserting, Brahma Satyam, but forgetting the Jagan Mithyatvam aspect. Jagan Mithyatvam is as important as Brahma Satyam. So each of the three components of Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya, and the third component of Jivo Brahma Iva Naparaha, all three are essential. We have to have all the three. So a person who is not concentrating on Jagan Mithyatvam, what would such a person do is that he will be preaching or trying to follow Brahma Satyam, trying to follow that I am Brahman, everything is Brahman, and then go to the kutarka of telling my father is also Brahman, my mother is also Brahman, therefore I have to do what they say. So such a person will forget the injunction or the vidhi that Shastra says. What Shastra says, that you have to have vairagyam, you have to have dispassion towards the entire world, and that includes your parents as well. That includes everybody, inclusive of your parents and guru as well. But forgetting that, there will be selective dispassion. So dispassion, okay, I will have dispassion towards the entire world, which excludes my parents. Why? Because my parents are Brahman, therefore I should heed to their words. So that is a proper kutarkam as well as vidandavadam. So just merely asserting that Brahma Satyam and I am Brahman will lead to such kutarkam, and such a person will completely fall down. And as Mundaka Upanishad and Katha Upanishad, Avidyayam Antare Vartamanaha Swayam Dheeraha Panditam Manyamanaha, avidyayam antare vartamanaha. People who are inside avidya, they are, if avidya is considered to be a sea or an ocean, they are inside that ocean, they are submerged in the ocean. Yet swayam dhiraha panditam manyamanaha. Swayam dhiraha, they consider themselves as dhiraha, brave men, and panditam manyamanaha, they consider themselves as panditam or panditaha, whatever is the right word. They consider themselves as scholars, as realized saints. And what do? Dam brahmyamanaha pariyanti mudaha. They go around in whirlpools. They consider themselves as realized, but still they go around the whirlpool of happiness and sorrow, janma and maranam, whatever we can say. And if a person falls a prey, like if another person gets to these people, these so-called saints, so-called realized people, then andeneva niyamana yata andaha, andeneva niyamana yata andaha. Like if you fall into the clutches of such a person, then it's like a blind person leading another blind person. They'll not only help you, they will submerge you into water. It's like a drowning person trying to help another drowning person. So that is what happens. Like that's what would happen if we don't concentrate on Jagan Mithyatvam. The moment Jagan Mithyatvam is asserted along with Brahma Satyam and Jivo Brahma Evanaparaha, then what would a person do? He'll say, my parents, they are also an illusion. So I'll try to do whatever is best for me. I'll try to do whatever suits me in this path. I'll not fall a prey to emotional blackmail. I'll not say, okay, since my parents say that, okay, I have brought you up for 20 years. I've given you life. I've given you money. So you should return something at least. Therefore, you should marry. Therefore, you should do what I say. All those things, like, are emotional blackmail. There have been, like, our parents also have been, like, brought up by their parents. And it's just like we are considering one parents. We have gone through, like, many, many births. So all those parents we will have to consider and then do all what they say. We'll end up nowhere. So a person who concentrates on Jagan Mithyatvam will say, okay, my parents also are an illusion. So just because everything is an illusion doesn't mean that I should heed to my parents. It only means that a person will not be affected by whatever is around him, but he will do whatever is good for him in the spiritual path. So for spiritual path, if it helps me in joining the Chinmaya mission and attending the Vedanta course, then I will do that, because that is the goal of life. The goal of life is to realize one's own nature. The goal of life is not to justify one's fall down by saying that my parents are also Brahman, my parents are my guru, whatever they say I have to do because they are also Brahman. So that is Kutarkam as well as Vithanda Vadam. Such a person will fall down and it's like Dram Dramyamanaha Pariyanti Mudaha. They'll go around and round and round without any end. Like it's like entering into a maze where they cannot come out. And it's more dangerous than the Ajnanis, because at least the Ajnanis know that they are ignorant. Like it's like telling that you can wake a person who is sleeping. Like waking a person who is sleeping is easy. But you can never wake a person who appears to be sleeping. That means like who is not really sleeping but who plays as if he is sleeping. So he is not sleeping but he appears as if sleeping. You can never wake him up. So that it's like that. You can Ajnani knows that he is ignorant, therefore someday he will get out of ignorance. But a person who considers himself learned, though he is ignorant, because he misuses Shruti, he misinterprets Shruti, he doesn't follow the injunctions in the right way, such a person has no gati. He will never come out of ignorance. So it is very essential to remember Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya and Jivo Brahma Eva Naparaha. If a person remembers these three in his mind and remembers that there are only two things here, and in final analysis, whatever is there, we can term it as Jnanam and Ajnanam, we can term it as Vidya and Avidya, we can term as like one is Samsaram and one is Moksham, we can term like Brahman and Karma, or like Brahman and Lokam, Moksham and Lokam, whatever way we define, there are only two things. One is real, one is unreal. We have to assert that the unreal is unreal and the real is real, and that real I am. And the process of asserting in one's mind that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Ivanaparaha, asserting and always contemplating on this, like the essence of the scriptures, on this half shloka, ardha shloka, which is the essence of the scriptures, that is, that process is called Nididhyasanam, the process of contemplating, the process of always contemplating in our mind that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, Brahman is real. There is only one reality here, which is Brahman. The world is an illusion, and I am that Brahman. This, if a person understands this half shloka, then there is nothing else to do, because such a person will understand, okay, do I have to do this action? I'll do it. If that action, if I do an action and I'm not affected by it, my life is not going to be affected by it, then I'll do it. So just because the world is an illusion doesn't mean that I have to go and marry. I'll have to go to prostitute or whorehouse daily. I'll have to drink daily because the world is an illusion. That is like foolishness. A person will analyze that, okay, if I do this, will my life get affected? Will my temporary life get affected? Will my spiritual path get affected? If it doesn't get affected, then I'll do it. And how can you do it without getting affected? By always asserting that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. The moment you assert that Brahma Satyam and Jagan Mithya, you understand what is real and what is unreal, what Shankara calls as Vivekam. The moment you assert that, then you will not be affected by actions. Then you will be able to choose the right action, because you know what is real and what is unreal. The minute you know what is real and what is unreal, it's like telling that if you go into a new road, you go into a forest and you find two paths. So you don't know which one leads you out of the forest and which one leads you to the animals of the forest or jungly animals or whatever it is. So you don't know, then you'll have to take a risk and go. But the moment you know that, okay, this path, the first one, the road on the left leads me out and the road on the right leads me to animals, then you know what is right and what is wrong. You know what is real and what is not real. You know what is good and what is bad. Therefore, you'll choose the good. So a person who knows, who always asserts Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, would do what helps him in the spiritual path, what will help him in gaining a Paroksha Anubhavam. And that, so it's very essential to just understand the concept of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Know that there is only one reality here. The reality is Advaitam, Advitiyam, it is one alone. And the unreality is many, it is dual. So both are contradictory in nature. So that is what Shankara says beautifully in Brahmajnana Vali Mala, that Drik Drishyav Dvav Padartostaha Paraspara Vilakshanav. These are words of wisdom, and like in capsule form. If you remember these small capsules, then the entire spiritual path becomes very easy. And the entire scripture or scriptural interpretation becomes very easy. You don't even need to know scriptures if you just are able to understand these small concepts. So, Drik Drishyav Dvav Padartav Staha. So, when we analyze the world, analysis of the world leads us to just two entities. Drik Drishyav. So, Drik and Drishyam. Drik. Drik is the self. And Drishyam, Drishyam are the objects of the world. Dvav Padartav Staha. There are only two Padartham. Padartham means entities. So there are only two entities. That means, oh, if there are only two entities, aren't there like my people and your people? People I like and people I don't like. All those together become Drishyam. So Drishyam can be good Drishyam, bad Drishyam. Drishyam can be my Drishyam, your Drishyam. Drishyam can be that which I like and that which I don't like. Drishyam can be that which gives me happiness, that which gives me sorrow. But all those are Drishyam. So there are only two Padartham, two entities here, Drik and Drishyam. And it's not like two different entities, but Paraspara Vilakshanam. Paraspara Vilakshanam. Vilakshanam, they are they have different natures, not just differing natures, paraspara vilakshana, that means mutually contradictory in nature. So both are mutually contradictory. How? Drik is real, whereas drishyam is unreal. Drik is the subject, whereas drishyam is the object. Drik is changeless, whereas drishyam is changing. So whatever Shankara has explained in Aparoksha Anubhuti about the self and the not-self, the various qualities of the self and the body, all those are detailed analysis, detailed explanation of these two terms of drik and drishyam. And Shankara himself says, what are drik, what is drik and drishyam? They are paraspara vilakshanam. If one is there, the other will not be there. A person who is immersed in drishyam or worldly pleasure cannot realize the self, cannot be the self, and a person who is the self will never relish worldly pleasures, because though externally he may be experiencing or enjoying blisses or like enjoying temporary pleasures, like Shankara says, yogaratova bhogaratova sangaratova sangavihinah yasya brahmani ramate chittam nandati nandati nandatyeva. Though he may be experiencing externally all the pleasures, like he may be eating beautiful food, he may be enjoying things, yet internally he has only bliss. So that is a different. So if you are in Brahman, internally you will have to be in Brahman. You cannot enjoy the pleasures of the world. And if you are enjoying the pleasures of the world, you don't know the self. That's why paraspara vilakshanam. And drik brahma. Drik is what Vedanta calls as Brahman or Atman, or the self, the real I, the blissful I, Sachidananda Swarupa Atman. And drishyam mayeti, drishyam maya, iti sarva Vedanta dindima. Thus Vedanta, the line of Vedanta, rose by telling that there are only two things here, drik and drishyam. Drik is Brahman and drishyam is maya. Maya means that which is unreal, that is called jagat. Jagat is another word for maya, jagan mithya. So brahma satyam jagan mithya, jivo brahma eva napadaha. Asserting in the mind, in the intellect, is called nididhyasanam. And nididhyasanam, when a person does nididhyasanam for a continued period of time, the more and more a person does nididhyasanam, the more and more aparoksha anubhavam he will gain. If he gains more and more aparoksha anubhavam, there will be bliss. So if that is the case, how can I differentiate between a real guru and an unreal guru? How can I differentiate between a guru who is experiencing bliss, who is self-realized, and a person who proclaims himself to be realized? The simple reason, or the simple logic or way that Gita says, is that kama krodha viyuktanam yatinam yatachetasam abitho brahmanirvanam vartate viditatmanam. Abitaha brahmanirvanam vartate viditatmanam. A person who has realized the self, bliss will be dancing around such a person. So the moment you go nearby to Amma, the moment you go to Amma, you can feel that bliss. And that bliss is something which is not expressible in words. It completely calms the mind. So many people have tried, like even I have tried long ago, though I didn't have any questions to ask Amma, but at times like people would make you ask questions. They'll say, oh, ask Amma. Ask Amma whether you'll get rank. Ask Amma whether you'll pass. So I've tried long ago. So many people try, even now they try, like I want to ask so and so. People write down long list of questions to Amma. But people who are devoted, really devoted, many people may be able to ask all those questions because they don't have real devotion. The moment a person has real devotion, he is able to surrender to the master, surrender to a saint like Amma. In the presence of Amma, if you are able to surrender, then they go near to Amma and they come back. And one, after they come back, like come out of darshan, if you ask them, did you ask? No, I was not able to ask. When I went there, my mind became blank. That is the experience of a real devotee, a real sadhaka. That is called bliss. Bliss is not just some experience or some happiness that you gain and you want to share. Like what happens is you learn a few scriptures, then what would you do? While traveling in bus, you will be discussing it with the person nearby to you. You will want to explain it to somebody. You will want to impose it to somebody. You'll say, oh, I experienced this today. Oh, today I went to bhajan. There was this guy who was playing the keyboard very well. He sang like Yeshudas. It was so good. It was so beautiful. So this kind of explanation, this kind of trying to express, trying to say that I experienced this, that is not real experience of the bliss. But the experience that you gain from Amma, you cannot explain in words. Like Amrita Swarupa Ananda said, Amma, like he has been with Amma since 1981. So like his spiritual life or his spiritual age with Amma is the same as my age. So you can like judge how much experience he has. 26 years, 27 years with Amma, staying with Amma, being with Amma all the time. Yet if you ask him now, he'll say, I have not known Amma. If you ask him, he'll say that I have not known Amma. The reason why he says that is you cannot express it. Like even though you may know Amma, the moment you know Amma, you become Amma. You cannot explain it. That's the reason why many people who go to Amma, and if you ask them, okay, what was your experience? I don't know. I can't explain it. I was in Amma's presence. It was as if everything vanished. It was as if I was in a state of bliss. I was in an intoxicated state. I cannot explain it. So that is real bliss. Real bliss, or like the bliss that a person gets, like when he attends to a discourse, a beautiful discourse of Madhura Murali or Paramartha Ananda, and then afterwards says, oh, Paramartha gave this beautiful concept. He said he gave a logic to Jagan Mithyatvam, and he also proved that I am a sakshi to all these things. If somebody says like that, oh, it was a very beautiful concept, that very moment you can know that person hasn't really imbibed the teaching. He hasn't imbibed the bliss emanating from the presence of Paramartha, because the moment you try to express things, the moment you express things, that means you haven't experienced the self of the Atman. It's not even a temporary experience of the self of the Atman, because the Atman is beyond expression. So like if somebody asks that, okay, did you go to a discourse? Did you learn Aparokshanubhuti? Yes, I learned Aparokshanubhuti. How was the experience? If you are able to say, okay, I cannot express it. I cannot say. I was in a very blissful state. I cannot say. Even when I think about it now, I go into a blissful state. I cannot explain how it was. I cannot explain like as to how Shankara has said this or that. But it was blissful. That means you have really imbibed the teaching. That means you have at least got a glimpse of the Atman. That is what happens with a real master and a self-proclaimed master. A master, it's like a fox in the guise of a lion. So I don't exactly remember the story, but an old story goes that a fox went in the guise of lion. But what happened was, when the fox had to shout, the roar didn't come. The fox shouted in his own way. Similarly, when you go to a Mahatma, when you go to a realized saint, their very breath, their very existence will give you bliss, whereas the presence or the existence of self-proclaimed masters will only give you temporary happiness. It can give you some fame, some name, some intellectual knowledge, but it cannot give you sense of satisfaction. That is the reason why millions and millions of people come to Amma. If you ask them, they don't get anything. They don't get any monetary benefits. They don't get... Okay, some people might say, okay, when I go to Amma, she consoles me. So I get consolation, I get emotional benefit. But there are many people who don't even get the time to speak out their mind to Amma. They have many emotional distress. They don't get time to speak out to Amma. That means they don't get any emotional support. Not only that, they don't get emotional support in the presence of Amma. There are many people who still have the same problems in life. One problem vanished, another problem came. So they don't really get emotional benefit even away from Amma. Then what do they really get? they get that sense of satisfaction. That sense of satisfaction is not getting away from the world, not negating the world, but with the knowledge that the world is an illusion. Knowingly or unknowingly, their intellect is focused on Amma. The moment you focus on Amma, you're not focusing on Amma. The moment you think about Shankara, you're not focusing about Shankara, but unknowingly you're focusing on the Advaita truth that Shankara propounded. That means the moment you think about Amma, you automatically assert, your intellect automatically goes into that state of Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya, Jivo, Brahma Iva Naparaha. That gives you a sense of satisfaction, though trouble or like problems will still be there. So even like Amma's institution, we can say that Amma has donated millions and millions of rupees, crores of rupees for various causes, like good causes of the world. And that's the reason why UN also recognized her as an NGO, Amma, as a like non-profit organization, one of the first organization, a private organization to be recognized by UN. But even after that, 2 or 3 years, I think like 4 or 5 years back, a person, when Amma was singing in the Amritapuri ashram, a person from the group, from the gang, like from the devotee gang, he stood up and came to stab Amma. So that clearly explains that even though Amma is a realized saint, she also has problems. The mission also has problems. So we cannot get rid of the problems of the world, because as long as the world is there, problem will be there, because the very nature of the world, anityam asukam lokam, the lokam of the world itself is asukam. So you cannot get away from the asukam of the world, but what you can get away from is, you can get away from the notion that the world is real. So the moment you assert Jagan Mithya, the moment you assert that the world is unreal, then that very moment you are unaffected by the world. So that means that asukam also becomes mithya. It's like dream. You go to sleep, you have a very bad dream, but the moment you wake up, you are normal again. Why? Because you know that it was only a dream. That will be the state. So just intellectually asserting Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Iva Naparaha, that is Nididhyasanam. And a person who does that continuously, he will gain Aparoksha Anubhavam. That is what Shankara is speaking here. So you should remember that though we may be learning lots and lots of work, we may be learning or we may be knowing 18 chapters of Gita, the entire Dashopanishad or 108 Upanishad, various Puranas and all those things, yet if we don't know this one line, these three concepts of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya and Jivo Brahma Iva Naparaha in the right way. Many people might say that, okay, I know Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, Advaita means the world is unreal and the self is real. But when it comes to action, my parents are Brahman. That means my parents are real, everybody else is unreal. So that means there is no activity. So in action we should experience, we should put it into practice. Putting it into practice in action is completely following without any exclusion. There is no exclusive rule for my parents. The entire world is unreal. So the moment you follow it completely, that alone will give you aparoksha anubhavam. You don't need any other knowledge. All these knowledge or all these ways that Shankara is giving is to assert this again and again, are easier ways, like different ways for the majority of the people in the world. Like we have different types and different kinds of people. For some it may be easy to follow dhyanam, for some it may be easy to follow dharana, for some people it may be easy to follow just external, drishtim jnanamayin krutva pashyet brahmamayam jagat. For some people, asserting that the world is Brahman will be easier than asserting that the world is unreal. So for different people in the world, there are different ways. But all these ways finally should lead us to asserting again and again that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Iva Napara. If we know this half shloka, then we are in the right direction. If we know it and if we practice it completely, then that will give us aparoksha anubhava. But Shankara is here giving 15 పంచదశ అంగ పంచ లైక్ 15 అంగం టు నిధిధ్యాసనం. నిధిధ్యాసనం ఈస్ అసర్టింగ్ దిస్, అసర్టింగ్ దట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈస్ బ్రహ్మన్, బ్రహ్మన్ లోన్ ఈస్ రియల్, ద వరల్డ్ ఈస్ అన్రియల్. సో దెర్ ఇస్ ఎ వాస్ట్ డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ అసర్టింగ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ టు బి బ్రహ్మన్ అండ్ అసర్టింగ్ బ్రహ్మన్ యాజ్ రియల్ అండ్ ద వరల్డ్ యాజ్ అన్రియల్. సో ద వరల్డ్ ఈస్ బ్రహ్మన్ బికాస్ ద వరల్డ్ ఈస్ అన్రియల్. సో ఇఫ్ యూ డోంట్ యాడ్ దట్ బికాస్ ద వరల్డ్ ఈస్ అన్రియల్ దెన్ we will start asserting people to be Brahman. So we will start selective assertion. We will start asserting that my roommate is Brahman, my partner is Brahman, my husband is Brahman, my wife is Brahman, therefore I have to heed to their words. So that will come if we assert the world to be Brahman without knowing that the world is unreal. The world devoid of Namarupam is Brahman. The world with Namarupam is unreal. So if we do it that way, then we'll finally end up in Aparokshanubhavam. And Shankara is giving here like the 15 Anga or 15 ways of practicing Nididhyasanam or 15 ways to accomplish Nididhyasanam which will lead us to Aparokshanubhavam. So like we have discussed till the 123rd shloka, where Shankara gave like the various sadhanas, and the names of sadhanas was very similar to yoga, the yoga darshanam. So the final one that he is giving is samadhi. So samadhi, the word samadhi means absorption. So absorption in Brahman, absorption in the reality of Brahman, absorption in the truth, in the essence of Vedanta, that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So this means like the moment we assert that, all these sadhanas are intellectual, are mental. So are at the like internal plane, it's not external. If a person who is externally asserting, whenever you meet him, he'll say everything is Brahman, everything is Maya, the world is Maya, the world is Brahman. We know many people who proclaim it that way, but when it comes to their own kith and kin, when it comes to their own matters, then, oh no, 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 don't, no Vedanta, no sannyasam. Why? That is like different. Learning Shankara's work is different, but you shouldn't go to that extreme. So there are many people who like shout at the top of their voice that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. But still, when it comes to practice, when it comes to implementation, there will be nothing at all. So what is really required is internal assertion. You may like Paramartha, you may go on speaking about Brahman, or your life would be propagating about Brahman at the Vyavaharika level like Paramartha does, or at the Paramarthika level like Balakrishna Nair does, but it doesn't matter. What really matters is internal assertion and activity or action which goes in hand with your internal assertion. So it's not that okay, you internally assert and do whatever action you want externally, but you should have internal assertion, and then your activity should be such that it helps in your internal assertion. So your internal assertion that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Eva Naparah should be perfectly implemented in action. So that is what is essential, that is what is real practice. So internally doing Nididhyasanam, externally whatever actions. So that's what Krishna says, yat karoshi adashnasi yat juhosi radasi yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushyam adarpanam. Whatever actions you do, offer it unto me. Anya chintayanto ma yejana paryupasate tesha nityabhyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham brahmarpanam brahmahavih brahmagnu brahmanahutam. So in many shlokas he has beautifully explained that external action or activity doesn't really matter. What really matters is your internal assertion. If your internal assertion, that also like doesn't mean that okay, internally I'll assert everything to be Brahman, but still I'll live like a bad man, I'll drink, I'll consume alcohol, I'll have all bad characters. That is what Sureshwaracharya calls as yateshta charanam. So that is not what is required. What is required is if you really have the internal assertion, then you'll not say my parents are Brahman, my friends are Brahman, and I'll heed only to their words. I'll not heed to the words of Amma. But I'll heed to the words of my parents. I'll not heed to the words of Shankara, but I'll heed to the words of parents. That's what many people do. They proclaim or they consider themselves as followers of Shankara, but forget what Shankara says as Vairagyam, what Shankara says as taking sannyasam, taking external sannyasam for people who cannot live in the world and still in practice internal Nididhyasana. They should take sannyas. That's what Shankara says. So proclaiming themselves to be followers of Shankara, but when it comes to their parents, when it comes to their partners, then partner is Brahman, parents are Brahman, but Shankara is not Brahman. So that is not what is really required. If there is internal assertion, if there is the conviction, intellectual conviction is clear, is right, then that will be reflected in one's action. That means one's action will always be towards Brahman, towards realization, towards Aparoksha Anubhavam, towards Nididhyasana. So that is one way you can find out whether a person is really following Shankara or a person is just proclaiming himself to be following Shankara. A person who is really following Shankara will be trying to do Nididhyasana at all points of time. But a person who is proclaiming himself to be following Shankara will be just having external words or external activity alone. There will not be any internal assertion. Such a person will fall down. When it comes to the right moment, it will fall down. So it's like telling that, okay, I have to meet Amma. I follow Shankara, but when I have to meet Amma, I'll decide. Like, I'll have to decide why. My roommate will be alone, so I cannot let her be alone. My parents are alone. I cannot leave them and go visit Amma. There are many people like who, when Amma comes to their hometown, they cannot go. Why? Because my parents will not agree. I cannot go alone. And all those reasons. The moment you make all those reasons, that means there is something really lacking. So there is no internal assertion. If there is the intellectual conviction is there, then when a Mahatma like Amma comes to your town, Amma comes to your vicinity, then such a person will go and meet Amma. Else also, like, it's also bad because, like, we can say that we are disciples of Amma, we are devotees of Amma, yet we cannot meet her when she is near. So that's the, what you say, you can say, pitiful state that of people, like, perfectly explained in the scriptures as avidyaya mantari, like people who are in ignorance but consider themselves as saints. Anyway, Shankara is here explaining Samadhi, is going to explain the next sadhana of Samadhi, which followed would help in Nididhyasanam, in proper Nididhyasanam. So he says, Nirvikarataya vrittya brahmakarataya punaha vrittya Vrittivismaranam samyak samadhir jnana samyakah. So samadhi jnana samyakah. Samadhi, the samadhi jnana samyakah. Like the samadhi which is based on jnanam, the samadhi which depends on knowledge, or is also jnana samyakah. Samyakah means also known. That means samadhi which is also known as jnanam. So Shankara here is not speaking about the samadhi that Patanjali speaks, but he is speaking about the samadhi which is same as Brahmatmaikya Jnanam, that is real Jnanam. What is real Jnanam? Real Jnanam is Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahmeva Naparaha. So how can you implement it? Nirvikarataya. Nirvikarataya Vrithya. With the thought, like with in your mind, Nirvikarataya, removing all thoughts, removing the entire world. The world is nothing but it's a thought in your mind. The moment your mind becomes blank, the world also vanishes. That's why people, when they go to Amma, their mind becomes blank, and that moment they don't feel the world. They don't feel the problems that they had because the mind is blank. So the world is echoed in our mind. So when the mind becomes nirvikara taya vrittya, that vritti which is nirvikaram, that vritti which doesn't have any thought, that means it's not a vritti at all. So removing all thoughts, negating all thoughts, and punaha brahma akarataya, and brahma akarataya, and then having the thought of Brahman, having the thought that I am Brahman. Nirvikaratayah, how should you do Nirvikaram? How can you remove all thoughts? Vritti Vismaranam, by forgetting all vritti, by removing all vritti. So that means first make the mind blank, make the mind Nirvikaram without any thoughts. That is Vritti Vismaranam. By Vritti Vismaranam, by removing all thoughts, make the mind Nirvikaram and then make the mind filled with Brahman. That means first negate Jagat, Jagat Mithya, assert Jagat Mithya, which means the world is unreal. That which is unreal, you don't need to concentrate on it. It's like telling, okay, nobody concentrates on their dream. After waking up, you don't concentrate on the dream because you know that it's an illusion, it's unreal. So the world is unreal, so don't concentrate on it, negate it. All this is internal, so you don't need, this doesn't mean that, okay, I shouldn't have any thoughts in the mind. If you don't have any thoughts in the mind, then you cannot do any sadhana. So that's the reason why first negate the world. The moment you negate the world, then don't have the state of thoughtlessness, but assert yourself to be Brahman. So the moment you negate the world and assert it to be Brahman, assert your mind that I am Brahman, everything is Brahman, then you can have the thoughts, then you can have other thoughts. So that means, like, whenever I am seeing object, I am going to see object, okay, I wake up. So the best way to do is, like, when you wake up, close your eyes and assert that Jagat Mithya, the entire world is unreal. And then bring your focus to Brahman. Jagat is Mithya. If Jagat is Mithya, it should have a substratum. What is that? Brahma Satyam. Okay, Brahman is Satyam, then what do I have to do with it? Jivo Brahma Iva Naparaha. That Brahman I am. And the moment you do that, then when you open your eyes, that means, like, Jagat is Mithya. That means it is Brahman. That means everything is Brahman. That means that is the state of Samadhi. Samadhi means getting absorbed into Brahman. So when you are absorbed into Brahman, you cannot do any activity in the world. But here you can do. Why? Because you are not merging into Brahman externally. You are merging into Brahman internally. Oh, why don't you have to do external merging into Brahman? Because externally you cannot merge. You cannot merge in, you can only merge into something which you are not. So you can submerge into water because you are different from water. But you are Brahman. If you are Brahman, you cannot merge into it because you already are. That means externally you cannot merge into Brahman. What you can do is internally negate all other thoughts, negate everything, all the notion that you have, and assert yourself to be Brahman. And once you do that, then you can have any activity, because whenever you have activity internally, the absorption is there. So internally you are merging into Brahman, externally you are doing activities like a worldly person. So this is what, like, Balakrishna Nair explains, as, like, I think Viveka Chudamani as well as Yoga Vasishtha says, that it's like an ocean. So in the ocean, if you analyze the ocean externally, there are a lot of waves. Waves, like, denote turbulence. So there is too much turbulence at the peripheral of the ocean. But if you go, like, if you have seen TVs, or, like, if you have dived into the ocean, then you'll know that the moment you go into the ocean, the moment you go deeper, then you'll find that there is no turbulence. Turbulence gets reduced. So that is the natural state. So internally you are without any turbulence because you are merged in Brahman. Externally the waves are there because externally it is the world. If it is the world, there will be turbulence. If it is the world, there will be duality. If it is the world, there will be thoughts. If it is the world, there will be actions. But internally you are merged into Brahman. That is Samadhi. And this Samadhi is Jnana Samadhi, because you are asserting Jagan Mithya. You are first negating the world and then asserting everything to be Brahman. Having the thought of Brahman alone in your mind, with the knowledge that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Iva Naparaha. Since it is based on knowledge, therefore it is Jnana Samyakaha. Therefore it is also called Jnanam. And this Samadhi is different from the Nirvikalpa Samadhi, Savikalpa Samadhi, Sabija Samadhi, Nirbija Samadhi, what Patanjali says, and many other Samadhi. There are people, like Art of Living, they will proclaim some other Samadhi and give a new name to it. So there are different types of Samadhis people follow. Art of Living or Vipassana meditation, there they have yet another kind of Samadhi. So people like, it's like telling samadhi means absorption. So you can have your own definition. So tomorrow I can define my own samadhi and say it's New Jersey samadhi. So I can define something called like samadhi, which you can experience in New Jersey. So if you come to New Jersey, you'll experience this samadhi, and then you can publicize it, you can commercialize it. But that's not what Vedanta says. Shankara doesn't speak about those kind of samadhi. This samadhi is only one. It's neither Savikalpam nor Nirvikalpam. It's not what Art of Living believes. It's not what Maharshi Mahesh Yogi believes. It's not what Buddha believes. It is what Vedanta believes. It is what is the real samadhi. It is that samadhi. It is the only samadhi that can give you eternal bliss. So Nirvikalpa Samadhi, or Art of Living way of doing things, doing meditation, doing samadhi, can maybe able to give you temporary happiness. So Vipassana meditation would be able to give you happiness. The meditation that Amma says, Amrita, integrated meditation would be able to give you temporary happiness. But all those cannot give you permanent happiness. Eternal bliss can arise only by knowledge. Because the sorrow that we are facing is due to ignorance. The ignorance that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Eva Naparah. The cause of all sorrows is ignorance. If the cause of all sorrows is ignorance, the only solution that is possible for it is through knowledge. If somebody proclaims or somebody propagates any other solution than knowledge, then that means you can openly reject it, because it may be able to help you like temporarily, it may be able to give you control of mind, it may be able to like help you give some stability in life, it may be able to solve your problems temporarily, it may be able to give you some life partner and some friends and all those things, like even some disciples. Like if you start giving discourse on any type of meditation, if you start propagating any meditation, then you'll get two or three disciples who will be like always roaming around you, who will be surrounding you at all times. That's another kind of bliss, the bliss of disciples. So if you have more disciples, you'll have more bliss. So that all those like you can get, but that cannot give you eternal bliss. Eternal bliss can happen only through knowledge. And therefore Shankara is telling here, samadhi jnana samyakaha. So jnana samyakaha, also known as knowledge. So that is what defines or like discriminates or kind of differentiates or alleviates this samadhi from all other samadhis. We may have many other samadhis, we may follow many other meditation types, but this is the ultimate meditation, this is the ultimate samadhi, this is the ultimate knowledge, this is the ultimate sadhana. Why? Because this sadhana will help in nididhyasanam and give us aparoksha anubhavam. That anubhavam, yad gatvana nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. It is this knowledge, once you know it, you cannot come back. Sayoha vai tat paramam brahma veda brahmaiva bhavati swayam. A person who knows Brahman, he becomes Brahman. Tarati shokam tarati papmanam. He crosses over shokam, he crosses over papas. Guha grandibhyo vimukto amrito bhavati. After getting over the bondages of the mind, the various knots of the heart, he enters, like he gains immortality. He becomes immortal. So that is the speciality of this samadhi. This is the real samadhi, real absorption, as this alone can give us eternal bliss. We will go into a small discussion on the different types of samadhi. It's good to know at least the basic types of samadhi, so that you don't get deluded when somebody says, okay, what is the samadhi that you follow? Is it Savikalpam or Nirvikalpam? So we need to know, like, in general, what is Savikalpam, what is Nirvikalpam, and how it helps in the spiritual path. We cannot say that Art of Living Samadhi or AAM doesn't help a person. It does help a person, but it cannot give eternal bliss. It can be as an angam. It can be as a sadhana. It can be as a sadhana which purifies our mind and gives the mind concentration. Gives the mind concentrative power, which will finally help us in nididhyasana and aparokshana. We will see that in the next day. Hari Om.